Now, stars bring a painting of a snow-capped mountain and the words, a Paramount picture. Titles appear with murals of cowboys herding mustangs, roping cattle, and camping on the dry plains and rocky mesas of the West. Howard Hawks presents John Wayne and Robert Mitchum in El Dorado. Co-starring James Caan, Charlene Holt, Paul Fix, Arthur Honeycutt, and Michelle Carey. Keep searching to find El Dorado. So ride, only ride to the end of the rainbow. Ride, only ride till you find El Dorado. Featuring R.G. Armstrong, Edward Asner, Christopher George, Marina Gain, John Gabriel, Robert Rothwell, Robert Donner, Adam Rourke, Victoria George, Jim Davis, Ann Newman, Diane Strom, Johnny Crawford, and Olaf Weghorst. Copyright 1966, Paramount Pictures Corporation. Music by Nelson Riddle. The song El Dorado, lyrics by John Gabriel, music by Nelson Riddle, sung by George Alexander and the Mellow Men. So ride, boldly ride, to the end of the rainbow. Ride, boldly ride, till you find El Dorado. Screenplay by Lee Brackett, based on the novel The Stars in Their Course by Harry Brown.
My daddy once told me what a man ought to be. There's much more to life than the things we see, and the goodliest mortal you ever will know is the one with the dream of El Dorado.
Directed and produced by Howard Hawks. Now, in a sunny frontier town, a sheriff with a rifle ambles down the dusty main street. He's a lean, barrel-chested man wearing a six-pointed badge, gray shirt, cowboy hat, and a holstered pistol. Outside a saloon, the sheriff sees a white horse with black spots. He walks inside and steps up to the bar.
Tomas, a big fellow, about 6'4", riding that Appaloosa stud out there. He came in here a little while ago.
He in the washroom. He shaves. He cleans up.
Thanks.
The sheriff steps into the back, slowly opens a door, and enters a washroom. He points his rifle, with a circular cocking lever, at a tall, raw-boned man in a red shirt and khaki pants, washing his face in a basin.
Hi, Cole. That's a voice I'd know anywhere. J.P. Hara. Wait till I get some of the hope out of my eyes. I heard you were made sheriff.
Cole dries his face, then sees J.P.'s rifle.
The idea of the gun.
Just till I find out which side you're on, Cole.
What do you mean?
I heard you were working for Bart Jason.
Well, nothing set yet. He offered me good money, but I haven't found out what I have to do to earn it.
Would you like to hear?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Cole, that's about close enough to that gun.
I just wanted to see if you slowed down any.
Not that much.
What were you saying about Jason?
Well, he showed up here around the end of the war with a pocket full of money. Nobody seems to be able to find out where he got it from, but everybody else around here was broke. You know how it was then.
Yeah, all over Texas.
Well, having money, he started to grow. Now he can't grow any bigger until he gets more water. There's only one place to get it. Trouble is, somebody was there ahead of him. About 20 years ahead. A man named Kevin McDonald got here when there was nothing but Indians and coyotes. Mr. McDonald's got four boys and a girl, and they've all worked real hard. They hung together through all the rough times, and now that things are beginning to look up, McDonald's in no mind to sell. So he's holding, and Jason's pushing, and I'm standing right in the middle.
It's not the way it was told to me.
That's the way it is, Cole. I guess you're supposed to take care of me.
Well, not that I couldn't do it, Hara, but I don't think I'd like that.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Not that I couldn't handle you, but I don't think I'd like that either.
Suppose I tell Jason that I had a long talk with you and You scared me off. Good enough?
Good enough.
Well, you can put that thing down now. Something familiar about that gun.
JP tosses it.
I just had it fixed up the way you had yours. You got lucky with it. I thought I'd try it.
Ha!
Cole throws it back.
Cole Thornton, you decent, you better be, because I'm coming in. Oh, it's good to see you. You know, when they told me you were here, I didn't believe them. I thought you'd forgotten all about me. I thought that... Oh, hi, JP.
A pretty, full-bosomed woman with brown hair.
What's so funny?
This whole thing.
Do you know what she's laughing about?
I gather you knew him before you knew me.
Before you, I knew her when she was a kid. Oh,
didn't you know that, JP?
I know you never mentioned that. Up until now, I thought she had good taste.
And up until now, I thought she had good taste.
Oh, I'm awful glad you two are friends.
We may not be when we think this thing over.
If you aren't, I'm through with both of you.
You know something, Cole? I think we better get ourselves a new girl.
Yeah.
You better not.
Why not?
I'm girl enough for both of you. Say, can I buy you a drink?
Well, I'd like that very much, but... I promised J.P. I'd do something for him, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Of course, if you want to do my errand...
No, you do your own work, Cole.
Will you buy us that drink a couple hours from now?
Yeah, sure will.
Where is this Bart Jason's place?
Well, you take the main road north out of town, and after you cross the creek, you come to a big rock.
Big rock?
That's right. That's McDonald's boundary.
McDonald's?
Yeah. You ride east from there about 3 miles, and you get to Bart Jason's ranch.
Audie, remember, I'm coming back. Oh, I left some things,
I'll take care of it.
Thanks.
Cole smiles fondly, then leaves.
You mad at me, JP?
You know better than that, Moni.
You must like that man. Let me tell you about him.
You don't have to tell me about Cole.
I know I don't. That's why I want to. I met Cole right after my husband was killed. I did tell you that.
Yeah, you told me.
Well, there I was, stranded. A gambler's widow, not a chip to my name. Cole was awful good to me. Gave me a stake, helped me get on my feet. Never would take you. I don't know, JP. With Cole and me, I guess it's a... I'll always think of him as a...
He's a top hand.
I guess so.
Yeah, well, Cole always was pretty lucky.
Have you known him a long time?
Yeah, I've known him a long time, since before the war. We've traveled some together.
Sure, I know what that means. It means either you saved his life or he saved yours or both. Neither one of you will talk about it. Men.
Would you like it set to music, Monty, with a full orchestra? I'll see you, Monty.
Hey, don't forget to come back.
Well, I'm certainly not going to leave you alone with him.
You're not a friend.
J.P. leaves. Maudie, wearing a scoop-necked purple blouse and brown skirt, hangs her head.
Hell.
The scene changes to a dry valley. A cowboy holding a lariat rides alongside a herd of horses. In a cloud of dust, he guides them down to a shallow river. More cowboys bring up the rear. The horses gather and drink in the ankle-deep water. Another man rides up from the far side of the valley.
McDonald! Captain McDonald!
Howdy, Roy. Something wrong?
Doc Miller sent me out. Said tell you Bart Jason hired himself a gun hand, Cole Thornton. And Thornton rode out there about an hour ago. Doc wanted you to know. Said tell you to be careful.
Thanks, Roy. Tell Doc I'm much obliged to both of you.
The rider waves and gallops away.
Matt, you and Saul stay with me. We'll take these horses back to the ranch. Joey, get out to West Fork and tell Jerry to get back to the ranch as soon as he can.
A woman with wild blonde hair rides off.
Luke!
Yes, Paul?
Get up there on that rock. If you see anybody coming, fire a shot in the air. That'll give us a little warning.
All right, Paul.
Wait a minute! I ain't finished yet! As soon as you fire that shot, you jump on your horse and I tell it, you hear?
I hear you, Paul.
The lanky boy rides through the river and up a steep bank.
Let's go!
They aim their pistols at the sky.
Right.
They herd about 50 sleek chestnuts, bays, and pintos out of the river and through a scrubby forest beyond. Young Luke climbs atop a huge boulder 2 stories high, rests the butt of his rifle on his leg, and looks out over the valley. The scene changes to a sprawling ranch. Cole Thornton rides his Appaloosa over a small wooden bridge and into the ranch's main compound.
Where can I find Mr. Jason?
He's up at the main house.
Gracias.
Cole wears a leather vest over his red shirt, a faded yellow bandana around his neck, and a tan Stetson with a silver hatband. He passes a row of hired hands, staring grimly at him from a shadowy porch.
Mr. Jason, you got a visitor.
A short, stocky man comes out wearing a white shirt, string tie, and black hat.
Cole Thornton?
That's right.
I'm Bart Jason. I've been expecting you. Get off your horse and make yourself comfortable.
I won't be here long enough for that. Here's what's left of your expense money. Sorry about the rest of it, but that's a chance you take. I've decided against working for you.
Before you even talked about it? No, you wouldn't do that. You must have talked to somebody.
I did. The sheriff. His story is a little different from yours.
Well, perhaps the law doesn't quite see it my way. Since when did hired guns get choosy? You're paid to take...
I'm paid to risk my neck. And I'll decide where and when I'll do it. This isn't it.
You know, Thornton, I got an idea. You just don't want to go up against Sheriff J.P. Hara.
You know, you're just about right.
You think he's that good?
I tell you he's that good. And Mr. Jason, I see you don't wear a gun. So I guess you always hire it done. So I'll give you a little piece of advice. If this bunch is all you've got, don't tangle with Hera, because they don't look tough enough to me to stomp a stringy jackrabbit.
No, Thornton. If that's the way you think, I don't want you.
Well, that's good enough for... Hey, Fancy Vest! Go ahead and pull that rifle if you want to, but you better speak to your boss before you use it, because he'll be dead before I hit the ground.
Don't be a damn fool, Joe. Get over there and stand with the others where you can see you.
A scruffy man with a silver button vest backs off.
I'll remember what you said, Mr. Thornton.
You do that.
Keeping his narrowed eyes on Jason and his men, Cole coaxes his speckled horse into a careful backward trot. Reaching the bridge, Cole turns his horse and gallops away. A sinister smile flashes on Jason's face. He picks his teeth with a match, then heads back inside. Later, in the valley hemmed by a scrubby forest, Cole crosses the shallow river. Up on the tall boulder, Luke McDonald sits asleep, his rifle in his lap. Cole reaches the other side of the river and trots over the flat, rocky bank. His horse has a short-haired mane and a saddle with silver studs. Luke wakes up, jumps to his feet, cocks his rifle, and aims wildly at Cole, who passes below. In a flash, Cole draws his pistol. Luke grabs his gun and crumples. Yeah! Cole crosses a bend in the river, gallops around the back of the boulder, and winds up a narrow path. In a natural bowl in the rock, he dismounts beside Luke's waiting horse and climbs up to the boulder's flat top, his pistol drawn. Luke looks up, his brow creased with pain.
Don't shoot no more, mister. Please.
I won't.
He holsters his gun and kneels beside the boy.
Let me have a look at it.
It's bad, isn't it?
It isn't good.
My insides feel like they're on fire.
Maybe I can make you more comfortable.
No, don't touch me. Please don't.
What's your name, son?
McDonald. Luke McDonald. I can't stand it.
Kevin McDonald's boy?
One of them.
Well, I'm going to have to get you home.
No, no, don't move me. Please don't move me. It's no use. I know it ain't no use, Pa told me. Just don't touch me.
Well,
Cole jerks up his head with a flicker in his eyes and climbs down toward his horse. Luke, straining, pulls out a pistol. Now at the McDonald's ranch.
But there were two shots, Pa.
I heard him.
Well, Luke ought to be back by now.
I know that.
They stare out across the ranch.
Oh, no.
Are we going, Pa?
Where?
Pa, Luke could be in bad trouble.
If he is, we won't be any help to him now. He went there to warn us. He's warned us. Better off here where there's some cover. So, found a good place inside that shed. Jose and Miguel, go with him. Danny, Felipe, come here. Over behind that wall. You guys, get in the house. Matt, we'll wait inside.
All right, Pa.
Later, Cole rides onto the McDonald's ranch. He passes under an arch of weathered timber topped with a bleached, sharp-horned steer skull. He leads Luke's bay-colored horse by the reins with Luke's limp body draped over the saddle. Cole heads across a dusty yard toward the worn one-story house. Inside.
Matt, get over that window. Don't do anything, Jose.
Cole looks around the deserted ranch and continues. Saul, the oldest son, hides in a shed behind a bale of hay. Chickens scurry away from the approaching horses. Cole stops outside the house's front door.
McDonald! Kevin McDonald!
McDonald walks out onto the porch.
Come out and get your boy.
Saul and the hired hand step out of the shed behind Cole. Matt and three women join their father.
He's dead, ain't he?
He's dead.
Jose, Miguel, get him down from there.
The hired hands and two of the women rush to the horse's side. Joey, McDonald's wild-haired daughter, gallops up to Saul.
What happened?
Luke. He's been killed.
Well, I'm waiting to hear what happened.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. You left a boy out there to do a man's job. He went to sleep. When I came by, he woke up, jumped up, and started firing his gun. All I saw was somebody shooting at me from the rocks.
Cole Thornton?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't believe you.
Well, I don't care much, miss, whether you do or not.
Pa's handling this. Just wait.
Get in the house, girl.
Saul lets go of Joey's hand. She puts her rifle back into its saddle holster and races off the ranch.
You said he was asleep? How do you know he was asleep?
He told me that. He told me his name. That's how I knew where to bring him. And he said you told him what happens to a man that's gut shot. How he hasn't got much of a chance. Did you tell him that?
Yeah. I told him that.
Well, then you're partly to blame. You'll find two bullets in him. One of them's mine. He was hurting worse than he could stand. Had a handgun that I didn't see. Any more questions you want to ask?
No. I guess you're telling the truth. I guess if you weren't, you would never brought him here. I'm much obliged to you for that.
It don't help much.
Cole looks at the ground, turns his horse, and leaves. Later, he approaches the shallow river. He glances over his shoulder at the flat-top lookout boulder, then heads toward the river's edge. From a nearby rocky outcropping, Joey aims her rifle. Cole topples to the ground. As the gun smoke clears, the busty, athletic Joey stands and runs down to her horse, a darker, speckled Appaloosa. Rifle in hand, she rides along the river's edge to Cole's motionless body and dismounts. Her sun-streaked hair falls in loose, tangled curls. She wears canvas pants, a rough brown shirt, and a red bandana knotted around her neck. She stares coldly down at him.
I reckon you won't shoot any more little boys, mister.
Cole swipes her heels, knocking her feet out from under her. He stands up and grabs a rifle.
Next time you shoot somebody, don't go near them till you're sure they're dead.
He flings the rifle into the river.
I don't know why you're still alive. I don't know how I missed you from that range.
You didn't miss.
He wipes his bloody hand on her shoulder.
Now get out of here.
Joey grabs her horse's reins, keeps her eyes leveled on Cole, then hoists herself onto her saddle pad. Cole presses his left hand against the small of his back, steps toward his horse, then turns around. Joey leans down, fishes her rifle out of the water, then gallops away. Cole staggers around his Appaloosa, leaning against its haunches. Grabbing the pommel of his saddle, he puts his left foot in the stirrup and slowly pulls himself up. He leans over the horse's neck and swings his right leg into the other stirrup. Keeping his left hand pressed to his back, he flicks the reins and plods away. Later, with a doctor.
JP, open that window, will you?
Marty sits on a bed beside an unconscious Cole. JP lets in a light breeze.
That's better. The smell of that chloroform is putting me to sleep. Better hold him, Marty. Don't let him move too sudden.
All right.
The doctor takes a whiff of smelling salts, then holds them under Cole's nose.
He'll be waking up now.
It's all right, Cole. It's Marty. It's
all right, Marty. Who are you?
The name's Miller. Some people call me a doctor and some other things, but I'm the only one in town.
Did you get the bullet out?
Nope.
Well, then...
Why this bandage? Let's get to it.
I can't.
Why not?
Because I'm not good enough. That bullet's right up against your spine. If I go hacking around in there to get it, I'll only finish what somebody else started.
So what happens?
Well, you'll heal all right. But when you get to a big town, find a doctor who knows more than I do. One of them newfangled squirts. They'll fix you up in no time. But don't wait too long to do it.
Any chance of getting some coffee or a shot of whiskey around here?
Linda?
Linda, bring both of them. The doctor, can he be moved?
Oh, sure, in a couple of hours, but don't go bouncing him around.
He can stay here. I'll make him comfortable.
Well, I've got a fine bed over at my place. It's narrow and it's hard and it's uncomfortable, but he won't get bounced around.
Outside, in the fading light of day, a scrawny, gray-bearded man, wearing a leather-fringed coat, rides a mule and blows a bugle. Inside her house, Maudie turns to a Mexican woman.
¿Qué es?
Señor Bull, he comes!
Maudie hands the man a bottle of liquor and glasses.
Bull always announces arrival that way?
Same way, different tune. You better let him in.
Chewing a drumstick, Maudie skips to the door. She wears a full-length red prairie dress with a tight-fitting bodice. Bull has a star pinned to his fringed jacket.
What's that you're blowing, Bull? Advance or retreat?
Nary one. Couldn't let one of General Hood's Texas cavalry boys go away without playing goodbye.
Who's going away?
Cole's lighting out. He's leaving tonight.
Maudie's smile drops.
You got any objections, Doc? I don't want to hear them.
I'm glad to get you off my hands. Where are you going?
Sonora. Folks down there got a silver mine. A little trouble. Think I might be of help.
Well, I brung along a little red eye in case the sheriff runs out. Somehow, I reckon he has. Been here a long time. Nobody's offered me a drink.
Well, why didn't you speak up, Bull?
I thought you'd never ask.
Marty, get him a glass, will you?
Well, what'll we drink to first?
Oh, Marty.
What's your outfit?
Cole follows her.
I guess I should have told you.
Go, sometimes you...
She smiles and walks away. Later, Cole straps his saddle and bags onto his horse. Maudie leans on the doorway.
I was hoping to see you alone before you left.
It's better this way, Maudie.
Come back, will you?
I will when...
When you can forget Luke MacDonald? When you can look at the other MacDonalds and not feel you owe them?
Pretty wise for a kid, Morty.
I think you must be the only person who thinks of me as a kid, Cole.
I reckon I really don't.
Please don't.
He wraps one arm around her in a brief, passionate kiss.
I'll see you, Morty.
He turns abruptly and mounts his horse. Marty swallows hard and watches him ride away across the dusty, hard-packed earth, skirting a few 12-foot-tall cacti. Marty's eyes glisten and her throat tightens. Fade to black. The scene shifts to another town. Cole rides up to a porch lit by a hanging lantern where a man with a tin star on his shirt sleeps in a chair.
Hey!
That the way you make your living?
By golly, Cole, it sure is good to see you.
What sheriff had to hire you for a deputy?
You're looking at him. Hiya, Cole.
Dodd Draper. The last time I saw you two, you were 10 jumps ahead of a posse raising dust for Mexico.
Hey, heard you got shot.
Yeah, but that was 6 or 7 months ago. How about supper? I'll buy you a beer, too.
We'd like to, but we're working men.
How about that canteen up the street? Good place to eat?
Good as any. You sticking around?
Day or two.
Well, we'll see you later, Cole.
In the cantina, a pretty dark-skinned waitress approaches Cole's table.
Senor! Your dinner will be ready in 1 minute.
Muchísimas gracias.
Oh, ¿quién está ganando?
He plays dominoes with another young Mexican woman. Outside the flat roof, two-story cantina, four men dismount and tie their horses' reins to a waist-high hitching post. Cole watches the owner greet them.
Buenas noches, señores.
There's something to eat.
Comida.
Sí, señor.
Plenty of it. Right away.
Something to drink, also.
Cómo no.
Señor Hueco?
Oh. 5-1.
Lástima.
He picks up a domino, then glances distractedly at the four rugged men sitting across the room. Outside, a young, athletically built man rides up to the cantina and ties up his horse. He wears leather chaps over his pants, a tan leather shirt, a black bandana, and a black hat shaped like a cross between a top hat and a Stetson. It has a flat top, a studded hatband, and a short curled brim which flares up at the sides. He glances around the street, flips up his collar, and moseys inside. Cole mixes the dominoes around and spots the young man sizing up the room. With cool, detached eyes, the young man slowly walks around the four newcomers. One of the men, lean-faced and wearing a black 10-gallon hat, glances up. He has a long scar across his left cheek and a marbled eye. The young man examines the others at the table. His stare fixes on a scruffy, thin-faced man rolling a cigarette.
Charlie Hagen.
Yeah? You want something from me?
You don't remember me, do you?
No.
The young man takes off his black hat.
You remember this hat?
Well, why in the hell would I remember a hat?
The young man glances coolly at the others.
You killed a man that was wearing it.
Ladies.
Cole sends the women away.
Just who was this fellow I killed? A friend of yours?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
When did I do this, boy?
2 years ago, come September. You and three others. Natchez under the hill on the Mississippi. He was a gambler named Johnny Diamond. And he was kind of an old man. Shouldn't have taken for you.
Do you remember, Charlie?
Yeah, I remember. He was a card sharp. He is cheating.
No, he was good. He didn't have to cheat.
And he really shouldn't have taken for you, Charlie.
No, it shouldn't have. Well, I'm sure glad you remember, Mr. Higgin. The other three did.
The other three?
Yeah. I caught up with them. You're the last. And now I think you better stand up.
Stand up, Charlie. I'm curious to see how he does this. He doesn't have a gun. And like he said, he shouldn't have taken four of you.
The young man's arms hang at his sides. Cole watches intently.
Stand up, Charlie.
Charlie jumps up. The young man draws a knife from between his shoulder blades and throws it into Charlie's chest. Charlie, his gun drawn, collapses. The young man puts on his flat-topped hat and retrieves his knife. A lanky, bearded man from the table squares off behind him.
You with the hat.
The young man hesitates, then turns around and faces him.
You killed Charlie because he killed your friend, right?
That's right.
Well, it happens Charlie was a good friend of mine. So let's see if he can do that trick twice.
Cole shoots the man's gun from his hand.
I'd let it drop, friend.
Me?
You.
A tall Mexican drops his pistol.
Hope you don't mind.
It always seems to take more than one, doesn't it?
It's because they're no good. Pick up your gun.
What?
You want to try again now? Pick up your gun.
Cole reholsters his pistol. The bearded man crouches toward his gun on the floor.
Against him or you?
Me first.
Why should you go first?
Pick it up.
Now, just a second.
Tell me about it later.
I'll tell you now.
Shut up. Go on. You were plenty willing when you had a kid.
Hold it. Don't get mad, mister. Before you start anything, I can't afford to lose another man. You promise to take Milt's place?
You got a lot of faith in me, don't you, Nels?
Faith can move mountains, Milt. But it can't beat a faster draw. There's only three men I know with his kind of speed. One's dead. The other's me. And the third is Cole Thornton.
There's a fourth.
Which one are you?
I'm Thornton.
The bearded man backs away from his gun.
Aren't you glad you didn't try, Milt? Pick up your guns. Both of you. Real easy.
Like he said, real easy.
And take him out of here.
Milt and the tall Mexican pick up their guns, then carry Charlie's body outside. The man with a scarred face leans back in his chair.
Thornton, I'd like to talk to you. I'm Nils McLeod.
I thought so. Pretty far off your range, aren't you?
A little. Can I buy you a drink?
Why not?
You too. Glasses. You working now, Thornton?
No.
Is that all right with music play now, senor?
Yeah, sure.
Muchachos, música.
You say you're not working. What do you say if I try to hire you on?
First, I'd ask about the money.
Money's good.
And then I'd ask about the job.
Well, good evening. Thanks for the drink, gentlemen.
Just a minute, son.
I am not your son. My name is Alan Bedillion Traherne.
Lord Almighty.
Yeah. Well, that's why most people call me Mississippi.
Mississippi?
I was born on a river in a flatboat.
You're pretty good with that knife. Can you use a gun?
Well, if I could, I'd be using one. Good evening.
Just a minute, Mississippi.
Would you mind telling me why you have such a great passion for my company?
Well, you just relax for a couple of minutes. You were telling me about the job.
It's a little range war up in the El Dorado country.
El Dorado? Mind telling me who hired you?
A fellow named Bart Jason. Hmm. Do you know him?
We met. He offered me the job a few months back. I didn't take it. You know who you're going up against?
Yeah, the sheriff, J.P. Harrah. I understand he used to be pretty good with a gun.
Not just pretty good, McLeod. He's the
fourth man you were telling me about.
That's right.
Well, he used to be. He's not anymore.
Well, what happened?
What usually happens to a man? A woman. Seems like he tangled with some wandering petticoat. He's been drunk ever since.
You figure to move in before he sobers up or before they get a new sheriff?
And you're not coming in?
No.
I suppose you have your reasons. It's probably just as well. Two like us in the same bunch. Sooner or later, we'd have to find out which one of us was faster. I guess you're right. So long, Thornton.
I thought we were going.
Mississippi, just listen. McCloud, would you like to walk out that door first, ahead of us?
Nope. I don't believe I would.
I didn't think so.
McCloud gets up.
Pedro! Milt! Can you hear me?
We hear you.
I'm coming out.
Cole and Mississippi follow McCloud outside.
Where are you? Over here! Come on out.
They emerge from the shadows of a staircase.
Further, into the light. Hurry. Now drop your guns.
Pedro and Milt glance at each other, then unbuckle their holsters and drop them.
Come over here. Inside.
They head back into the cantina.
That all right, Thornton?
Good enough. Mississippi, get their guns. That's all right with you, McCloud. We'll drop them at the sheriff's office, and your boys can pick them up on their way out of town.
Sounds reasonable.
Much obliged.
Call it professional courtesy.
McCloud walks inside. Mississippi picks up the gun belts. A long row of leather bullet loops runs the length of each. Cole unties his horse.
Want to get something to eat, Mississippi?
Mr. Thornton, I would have walked right out of here, right into those two fellas, if you hadn't stopped me.
I asked you if you were hungry.
I'm trying to thank you.
I'm hungry. That chivalry you put on in there interrupted my supper. Wore out our welcome. Now we'll have to find someplace else to eat.
Now?
Now.
Cole smiles. Mississippi unties his horse and follows him. Later, they eat in a smaller cantina, decorated with baskets and strings of drying chili peppers.
Mmm.
¿Qué quieres más?
Huh? What? She wants to know if you want something else.
Just coffee.
Café.
Café, por favor.
Mississippi stares at the table.
Not very hungry, huh?
No, not so much.
A little green around the gills.
Yeah. I just finished something tonight I've been 2 years doing.
What are you figuring on doing next? Back the river?
I haven't thought much about what I'm going to do next. And the river won't be the same without old.
Well, if you're going to stay around here, I got two pieces of advice for you. Get rid of that hat. Learn how to use a gun.
I don't figure on getting rid of that hat.
No?
No. Johnny Diamond, he's the friend the man that raised me. All he left behind was a gold watch and his hat. I had to sell that gold watch a year or so back. So I guess I'll just hang on to that hat.
What about learning to use a gun?
Johnny didn't believe in guns. He always thought that...
He's dead. Think about that. Unless you can learn to stay out of trouble.
That's one thing even old Johnny couldn't teach me to do.
Well, I'll be moving along. Good luck to you.
You don't suppose I could ride along with you?
No.
That's plain enough. Well, I hope everything works out all right.
What works out?
Whatever it is you're going to do.
Favor the meal, will you? So long.
He drops a stack of coins on the table and leaves. Daytime. Cole, wearing a blue shirt, leather vest, bandana, chaps, and his silver-banded Stetson, rides his horse down a steep hillside of crumbled rock, then turns up another slope. He falls off his horse and rolls into a stream. His horse joins him as he struggles out of the water, his right arm held stiffly against his chest.
Oh, hold it. Oh, jeez. Steady, boy. Take a minute.
He rubs his right hand, then looks up suddenly. A horse approaches. Cole crawls underneath an overhanging rock and draws his ivory-handled pistol with his left hand. A rider with a squat, flat-topped hat stops 30 yards away.
Cole! Cole Thornton! Where are you?
Close enough to blow your hat off if I hadn't recognized it.
Cole holsters his gun and grips his right arm. Mississippi descends the winding path and smiles down at him.
What are you doing here?
Looking for you.
No better than to follow a man that way.
I'm sorry, I didn't know there was another way.
Well, you almost got shot.
Hey, you fall off your horse?
Yeah.
You hurt?
No.
Well, there's something the matter with you.
Look, I got a bullet in my back. Sometimes it presses against something, and I get a scream in pain, and then there's nothing. It goes numb, and I can't use this hand.
How long does that last?
Just for a while. Why are you following me?
Well, I got to thinking about what you're going to do.
And just what am I going to do?
Well, you're going to that town, El Dorado, and help your friend against Cloud and his bunch.
How do you know he's my friend?
That look on your face when you heard he turned into a drunk.
Well, this thing's wearing off. Give me your hand up on my horse.
He flexes his right hand and rubs his wrist.
You sure your friend's worth helping?
You just spent 2 years chasing some fellas that killed a friend of yours. You think your friend was worth 2 years?
I guess I asked a fool question. Why not? You did.
Mississippi boosts him into the saddle, then mounts his own horse. Cole turns up the rocky slope, and Mississippi follows. Later, their horses trot side by side through a desert of scrubby sagebrush and tall cacti.
Give him a breather. Slow him down.
I was wondering, just how good is this McCloud?
I don't know firsthand, but they say he's one of the best.
I figure he'd be pretty mad you turning him down and showing up on the other side.
I hope he is.
How come?
Fella in his business hasn't got a right to get mad. He gets mad, he's not so good. So the madder he gets, the better I like it.
Sure wish I was there to see that.
Why do you want to keep sticking your nose in this?
Maybe I could help. You saved my life 2 times.
But I'm going to be too busy to keep doing that. You can't even use a gun.
You could teach me. I need somebody to teach me. Donnie Diamond always told me to get the best.
Well, he was right there. But you're not going to El Dorado.
Oh, I'm not, huh?
No, you're not.
Gaily bedight. A gallant knight. In sunshine and in shadow. Had journeyed long.
What's that all about?
Just a poem. One of Johnny Diamond's favorites. Let's see. Gaily bedight, a gallant knight. In sunshine and in shadow. Had journeyed long, singing a song in search of El Dorado. Over the mountains of the moon, down the valley of the shadow, ride, boldly ride. Always liked that poem, too. Makes me wanna
ride, boldly ride. Well, it don't work out that way.
I'm learning that.
Mississippi glances away with squinting eyes. Cole gives him a second look.
Oh, hell. Hold it, coaches.
Cole pulls his horse's reins and stops.
Step down off that horse.
You always giving people orders.
He tosses Mississippi his pistol.
You want to learn to shoot?
He climbs down and swaggers through the brush. Mississippi follows. Cole points forward.
Right out there.
Mississippi closes one eye and aims carefully.
Oh, hold it, Mississippi. That's no way to use a handgun. You got to draw and fire, and you better be quicker than somebody else is doing the same thing like this.
He hits a man-sized cactus dead ahead.
I see.
Mississippi holds the gun at his side, then jerks it up. He hits a bushy cactus 5 feet to the left.
How's that?
Were you aiming at that choya?
No, the place you were shooting at.
Afraid it's useless. Well, we'll be passing through Cuervo. I'll have a talk with a Swede.
Who's the Swede?
An old friend of mine. A gunsmith.
Later, they ride up to a shack hung with chilies and tin pots.
This is the place.
Mississippi ties his horse's reins to the porch. Cole wraps his around the pommel of Mississippi's saddle and heads inside. With a hearty handshake, he greets a burly, gray-haired man.
Why, Cole Thornton!
Swede, good to see you.
And what brings you around here?
Well, I'm looking for a gun for a fellow that can't shoot in Mississippi. Swede Larson.
Oh, yeah.
Can you help us out?
I think I got just the gun you're looking for.
Well, good.
He pulls out a sawed-off shotgun.
Wow! How wide will that shot spread?
Well, now...
I mean, how big a pattern?
I don't know. The fellow who used it before, he couldn't see too good. He just shoot where he hears somebody talk.
What happened to him?
He has a fight in the saloon. The piano player, he makes so much noise, he couldn't hear the other man. So he just shoot the piano player, and they hung him.
That looks pretty good to me.
Shoots good, too.
How about ammunition?
4 or 5 boxes ought to be enough.
Good. Well, Mississippi, looks like what you need.
Yeah, sure is.
Pay the man. Swede?
Cole, you come back soon.
Later, they ride through a rocky patch of forest.
Likely spot to try that new gun.
Mississippi wears the shotgun in a holster. It has a short stock shaped like a pistol's and 2 stubby barrels.
Try that cactus.
Mississippi climbs down, holds the gun with both hands, cocks the hammer, grimaces, and aims at a prickly pear on a rock face. Buckshot sprays the whole rock.
Can't mess with that.
It's all right.
He holsters the gun and climbs back onto his horse.
How far is it from here to El Dorado?
We'll be in there around midnight.
They ride around a bend in the path. Nighttime. Entering a town, they slow their horses to a walk.
Well, where are we headed for?
To see a girl.
To see a girl?
Yes, a girl. Don't you think I could know a girl?
Always make you mad, don't I?
Mostly.
Mississippi grins.
Hold it. This, yeah, this is it.
They turn down a narrow back alley. Cole scans the alleyway, then spots a back door. He stops his horse, swings out of the saddle, and hands the reins to Mississippi. He steps over to a lit window. Inside, Maudie wears a skimpy pink corset and black nylons. She puts a robe over her shoulders and parts the drapes.
Cole! Cole!
Maudie, keep it quiet. I've got to talk to you.
I'll let you in.
Looking in a mirror, she puts her arms through the robe and checks her hourglass figure and pinned-up hair. Cole meets her at the door. Her robe hangs open.
Keep your eyes
open. Oh, you sure pick the darndest times to... Who's your friend?
She closes her robe.
My name is Alan Bedillion Traherne.
Just call him Mississippi for now.
Hi, Mississippi.
You stay out here and watch.
Couldn't I...
No.
Cole steps inside and hugs her.
Cole, I'm so glad to see you. I got so many things to tell you.
And, Maudie, there's a lot of things I ought to say to you, but first I've got to have some answers. Are there any strangers in town?
No. I'd have known if there were.
Well, this one you'd have noticed. He's a dark, thin-faced man with a scar here and a marled eye. Nels McLeod.
Nels? I've heard of him.
Should have had 4 or 5 riders with him.
He's not here yet.
Well, good. At least we beat them in. Now, about J.P.
Want the whole story?
Just don't make it too long.
After you left, I didn't see much of him. Oh, he'd drop in for a drink once in a while. I guess he was lonely. One day, a girl came into town, just stepped off the stage, and... Well, you know how kind he...
Yeah, she probably had big, sad eyes and a long, sad story. That's his type.
Yep. She was no good. I tried to tell him, so did others. Bull told him, he knocked Bull down. So J.P. had found out the hard way. She ran off with the drummer. He's not been sober since. It's been about 2 months.
Well, Laddie's gonna have to get over in a hurry. Is he over at the jail?
He's still sheriff, though. I don't know why.
Well, we'll move you over. Oh, have you got a room for Mississippi and me?
Sure. Hey, have you eaten anything lately?
No.
I'll have something ready for you when you get back. I'm glad you're here.
Don't tell anybody you saw us.
I won't.
He squeezes her hand. Outside, he mounts his horse.
Well, I found one thing out.
What's that?
You know a girl.
They ride out of the alley and approach a man sitting in the shadows of a porch with a rifle lying across his legs.
Hold it! It's as far as you can come now.
The scrawny silhouette aims his rifle.
Unless you got some business here.
I sure have got business here, Bull. Cole Thornton.
Cole Thornton. If it hadn't been so dark, I might have spotted you. I might have anyhow if I hadn't been trying to figure out what that other fellow there's got on top of his head.
It's called a hat.
Well, I'll have to take your word for it.
It's a friend of mine. They call him Mississippi.
Glad to know you.
Cole.
Glad you're here, Cole. Friend of the sheriff ain't so good.
I just talked to Morty.
He's back there, sleeping. Ben's is how you've known him longer than I have. You know enough to be careful how you wake him up, because he's a bad one when he's drinking. He ain't put that stopper back in that bottle in a coon's age.
Yeah, I know. You got some place where you can put these horses undercover?
Sure.
Give him a hand, Mr. Oh, Bull, I just assumed everybody didn't know we were back in town yet.
What's up? Something in the wind?
Jason's starting some more trouble.
I ain't surprised. I got an itch on the back of my neck like I used to get when a Comanche was around and I couldn't see.
Mississippi follows Bull around the back. Cole grins and walks into a room with a window on each wall, a potbelly stove on one side, and a desk on the other. A rack of rifles hangs on a stone and mortar back wall beside an arched portal covered with iron bars. Cole walks into the large cell. His tall shadow falls on J.P., asleep on a cot in the corner. Cole steps to the center of the cell, strikes a match on a tabletop, and lights an oil lamp. A smaller cell is visible behind him. Cole's weathered, square-jawed face turns to his sleeping friend. He tosses the match and hangs his hands on his hips.
Hey!
Cole shakes his head. He picks up a copper bucket, looks down at J.P., then douses him with water. J.P. leans over the cot and grabs a bottle. Cole boots it away. Dripping wet, J.P. looks up through bleary eyes.
What the hell are you doing here?
I'm looking at a tin star with a drunk pinned on it.
Cole Thornton. How about that? Woo-hoo! How about that? That's good old Cole. Help me up out of here, Cole.
Cole takes his arm. J.P. hits him. Then Cole clobbers him with a metal bowl. Then makes a fist.
Cole, you won't feel it.
Well, I owe him one.
He lets go of the cross-eyed J.P., who falls stiff as a tree onto the cot.
Either one of you know a fast way to sober a man up?
Bunch of howling engines out for hair do it quicker than anything I know.
Johnny Diamond had a recipe. Let's see, cayenne pepper, mustard, the hot kind, ipecac, asafoetida, and oil of cloves, or was it? No, it was croton oil.
Croton oil? I'll be a suck-egg mule. You know what that mixture will do to a fella?
Guaranteed a killer cure.
Bull, you know where you could get that stuff this time of night?
Greener's store would have it. May have to wake him up.
Go on with him, Mississippi. Make sure he doesn't forget anything.
Well, I'll... Look out,
Cole!
JP swings a chair. It shatters against the bars. Cole punches him in the face and knocks him across the floor.
Well, aren't you gonna get that stuff?
Well,
he's all right. Just get it before he wakes up again.
Sure.
Later, on the cell table, Mississippi stirs a mixture.
Let's see, we've got ipecac, mustard, cayenne. It leaves us asafoetida.
He grimaces and shakes a white powder into the pot.
Are you sure that Johnny Diamond wasn't an embalmer?
Here's your gunpowder.
Gunpowder?
Yep. Mississippi remembered it on the way to the store.
Put it in, bro.
All of it?
Uh-huh, all of it.
I hope you don't blow him up.
Yep. He looks done.
He pours the thick, black, muddy mixture into a coffee cup.
Well, let's get it into him.
Bull, you sit on his legs. Cole, pin down his arms.
Don't worry about us. Just get a hold of his nose. If he can't breathe, he'll have to swallow.
Give him an extra one for me.
Mississippi pinches JP's nose, then pours into his open mouth.
All down.
JP's body jerks.
Let's get out of here. Lock him in.
The scene dissolves to morning. Mississippi, wearing his holstered shotgun, walks beside Cole, who wears his low-slung holster and carries a rifle.
Hello?
Yeah.
We're coming in.
Come ahead.
They enter the jailhouse. Bull pours them coffee.
Howdy, Cole. Mississippi.
How's our friend?
Nary peep. Not even moved. Not one twitch in the last 2 hours. You reckon it'll be all right, Cole?
Better ask Mississippi. It's his concoction.
I don't know how all right it'll be, but he won't be drinking anything for a little while, I can tell you that.
How come?
It does something to a man's stomach, so it naturally won't hold any liquor.
You sure of that?
Well, sure, I'm sure. Given he's human.
Well, he's human, all right. He's got to be. No other critter on earth would make such a fool of itself.
Hey, Bull, come open this door.
He's still drunk. Open it yourself. It ain't even locked.
JP pulls himself to his feet and steps out of the small cell. He wears a tattered Long John shirt, stained with sweat, and baggy pants, one leg in, one leg out, of his dusty boots. Holding his stomach, he trudges through the main cell.
My friends. My dear good friends. You dirty, lousy, rotten sheep herding. What did you do to me? What'd you give me? I'm all crawling inside.
Just hang on, Sheriff. It'll fetch you around.
Who are you?
We met last night.
Last night? What was that? All right, come on, Bull. Where is it?
Top drawer of your desk.
JP pulls out a full pint of whiskey and uncorks it.
Nobody gonna try to stop me.
Nobody.
Well, that's a good thing.
He tips his head back and takes two long pulls on the bottle. He corks it, slams it down, then his face sours. He buckles over.
Oh, you dirty.
He grips his stomach, clenches his jaw shut, and lurches into the cell. Later, four men ride into town. One of them is Bart Jason. Mississippi watches from the jailhouse.
Cole,
take a look.
He stares out a window as the four riders kick up a cloud of dust and head for the saloon. A stagecoach passes by. Jason ties up his horse, casts a malicious glare at the jailhouse, then heads inside.
All right, Bull. You better wake up. Bart Jason just brought his outfit into town.
Could be to meet McCloud.
Yeah, could be.
Gonna tell the sheriff?
No, let him sleep.
Here comes some more of them.
Kevin McDonald, his three sons, and Joey ride into town, followed by three women in an open wagon. Four hired hands wearing sombreros bring up the rear. One of Jason's men spots them and walks into the saloon. McDonald holds up his arm and stops.
Oh! You
gals, go on down the store and do your shopping. We'll meet you back in. Stay together now. Go on with them, Joy.
Dusty out there.
Who are those people that just come in?
McDonald's. They come to town every Saturday afternoon. This is one Saturday I wish they hadn't.
Bull, wouldn't it be a good idea if you hung around where the McDonald's are?
Yeah, I guess it's better.
Kind of watch out for them. We'll keep an eye on our friend across the street.
If there's any trouble down my way and I need you, I'll toot my bugle and you come running.
He grabs a rifle and leaves.
Toot my bugle.
Nighttime in the jailhouse. Mississippi sits at the desk, practicing slick card maneuvers. In one hand, he opens the entire deck in a perfect fan, restacks the cards, then sets them on the table. With one swift pass, he spreads out the cards in an overlapped row, tilts up one side, and ripples the cards back and forth like a wave. Cole opens a wooden shutter and peers outside. JP walks out of the small cell, rubs his stomach, and takes a deep breath. He makes it to the door of the main cell and leans against the bars.
Hello, JP.
Hi.
He looks away with a distracted gaze. Cole smiles, shakes his head, and steps closer.
Can you see a little clearer from here?
Hey, Cole. How long you been here?
Got in last night.
We have a fight or something.
Or something.
Yeah.
Cole rubs his knuckles. JP feels his chin, then searches his desk drawers.
Well, what are you doing here, Cole? Why are you here?
Waiting for a fella. Name's Nels McCloud.
Oh, Nels McCloud with the...
That one. Want some coffee?
No, I don't.
I met him down near the border. Said he wanted me to work with him on a job. Range war. But he said it'd be easy. All we had to worry about was a drunken sheriff.
JP stops and looks up.
Sure you don't want some coffee?
Nels McCloud. And, he's working for Jason.
That's what he said.
Well,
I turned the job down.
Well, then why are you here, Cole?
I owe the McDonald's. That enough?
Yeah, that's plenty, Cole.
JP slumps over and grabs the bars for support.
Cole, I'm gonna have a drink.
You won't find anything around here.
Why?
I told Bull to throw it away. Now would you like a cup of coffee?
No, I don't want any coffee, Cole. I want a drink. Can't you see it? I've got to have it.
I'll go get one.
Where's my hat?
This yours?
Who are you?
We met last night and again this morning. Now, is this your hat?
No, it's not my hat, but it'll do.
He snatches the dusty, beat-up hat, flings open the door, and leaves. The rangy, thick-chested Cole watches from the doorway as J.P. puts on the hat and swaggers toward the saloon. J.P.'s face is smudged and unshaven. His badge dangles from his soiled undershirt. He steps onto the boardwalk, then grips his stomach. Parting the swinging double doors, he walks inside and steps up to the bar. 6-foot steer horns decorate the walls.
Here's the whiskey.
Just hold your horses, Sheriff.
Jason plays poker with two men at a corner table.
Good evening, Sheriff.
Here you are.
I don't want a drink. I want the whole bottle.
I'll have to fill one up for you.
JP leans against the bar impatiently. Down the street, five riders approach. Cole peers at them, then swings behind the door as the riders stop at the saloon. McCloud, Milk, Pedro, and two others.
Isn't that...
That's McCloud, all right.
The lean, scar-faced McCloud, wearing a gun on each hip, walks through the double doors with his men. He glances at all the poker players at the green felt-covered tables, spots Jason in the back corner, and walks right past JP, ignoring him.
Well,
Yeah, well, I'm glad to see you.
Jason?
I've been waiting for you.
Brought some boys with me here.
Hi.
Hello, buddy.
Hi. Now, this is a good time to introduce you to the man I wanted you to meet. Sheriff, this is Nels McCloud. McCloud, this is J.P. Hara, the sheriff of El Dorado.
J.P. reels around and gropes at his empty hip.
He's the man who's responsible for keeping order in this town.
Here you are, Sheriff.
The bartender hands him his whiskey.
Just getting his evening bottle.
J.P. glances coldly at them. The bartender chuckles to himself. Every man in the bar smirks and turns to watch J.P. shove through the double doors. Outside, J.P.'s shoulders slump. He cradles the whiskey bottle and shuffles across the street. Close to tears, he stops and looks up. Cole opens the door and stares at him. J.P. pulls back his shoulders, puts his arms at his sides, and takes a deep breath.
Don't you think you better get out of the middle of the street?
J.P.'s chest falls. He slumps forward and staggers up the steps. Cole backs away and lets him inside. Mississippi stands at the window with his shotgun drawn. J.P. slumps against the cell bars and hangs his head.
Cole, they laughed at me. Right in front of a cloud, they just laughed at me.
They've been laughing at you for a couple of months. You just haven't been sober enough to hear it.
J.P. hurls the bottle.
They'll laugh no more. I'll show them.
He fumbles his holster and his gun falls out.
Say,
Bull.
Needs help?
What is it? Oh, wait a minute. Now, wait for me.
Why?
Cole grabs his hat and a rifle and runs down the street with Mississippi. A crowd gathers around a fallen man. Bull stands at a corner.
Cole! Over here! The men that done it took off down this way!
Just a minute.
The McDonald's circle the wounded man.
Oh, I asked you not to come. I asked you.
Seems like you're always around, Thornton, when one of my boys get hurt.
How is he?
He's alive. Joey's gone for the doctor.
Who did it?
Matt, you with Jared. What happened?
It was three of Jason's men. They came up behind us. One of them took my gun. Then they started calling Jared names. And when he turned around, one of them grabbed his arm. The other one shot him. And then they ran away.
What do they look like?
I know what they look like. One of them was tall. One of them was short. And one of them had a bad leg.
Let's go find them.
Just a minute. You're not going to go find anybody.
Well, look who's here.
You're a little late, ain't you?
Yeah, what'd you do, stop off for a drink?
All right, I'm late. I may be too late. But that's no reason for the rest of you to get gunned down.
Why do you say that?
Because you're outclassed.
Sheriff's right. Jason's had you beat ever since Nels McCloud and those four gunmen rode in.
Nels McCloud?
Jason's been waiting for him. You go up against him now, you'll be doing just what Jason wants you to do.
What do you expect us to do?
Why don't you ask the sheriff?
The sheriff? You think I'm going to wait on him?
Just give me an hour, McDonald. You can wait that long to die.
You backing him up, Thornton?
No, he's not.
J.P. shoots Cole a brittle stare.
Let's say I'm on your side, and this is no job for amateurs.
Cole and Mississippi follow J.P. to Bull's stakeout.
You run down this street and turn left. Too many for one man to take after. Now, if I was you, I wouldn't be too all fired in a hurry to go up that street. Them fellas actually just like to wanted somebody to follow them. I've seen Indians act like that.
Well, I'm going down this side. What are you doing here?
I'm going down the other side.
Well, remember, I didn't ask you.
Cole and Mississippi run across the street.
Come on, boy, you follow me. Not too close, though.
He sneaks forward, hugging the wall. Cole and Mississippi steal across the opposite boardwalk, hidden in shadows. Holding out their Winchester rifles, Bull follows J.P. along a well-lit porch. J.P. steps over to a man asleep on a bench, tips up the man's hat with his gun barrel, then looks across at Cole. He points to an alley diagonally across the street. Cole stops, peers around the corner, then hurries over with Mississippi. J.P. flinches, grabs his gut, and stumbles forward. Cole stops and looks over. J.P. forces himself to stand up straight, lets out a trapped burp, and glances at Cole. Cole frowns with concern, then moves on. J.P.'s eyes clear. He raises his rifle, scans the area, and keeps going. Cole and Mississippi walk past windows glowing with yellow light. J.P. and Bull sneak up the steps of the general store and creep across its boardwalk. Cole walks past a small adobe hut and continues down the street. As Mississippi passes the hut, a Mexican woman peers out from behind a curtain.
Senor.
Please don't turn around. It'd be better if no one sees me talking to you.
Mississippi. Just a minute.
Go ahead.
Is it that you look for three men?
That's right.
One walks with a leg which is not good. Another is very tall.
They're the ones.
They ran over there to the old church. They have not come out yet. I have watched.
Thank you.
No, you do not need to thank me. I do not like Bart Jason or his men.
Thanks again.
Mississippi trots up to Cole.
What kept you?
Talked to a girl. She said she saw
a
men.
A girl?
Well, don't you think I can know a girl? She said she saw the men we want run up that street to the old church. Said they were still there.
They still there?
Yes, sir.
Well, we can find out in a hurry.
J.P.
Cole points down the street. All four men run to the corner of a building and peer at a simple adobe church down a dead-end lane.
Girl said they were up at that church. What are you going to do, Sheriff?
You go closer.
They run down the lane and take cover on a closer porch.
Girl was right. They're still up there.
Sure. Hit me in the bugle. Look, got a dent in it. Alongside that big bell in that tower. I'll show you. Ain't that pretty?
Bo, you go on shooting. We'll try to move up a little closer.
Well, just give me another gun and I'll play marching through Georgia.
All right, start playing.
J.P. leads Cole and Mississippi in a forward dash. They duck behind a wagon, and Cole opens fire.
Come on up! Let's cover you!
The three gunmen hide amid the bells. Their shots burst around Bull as he ducks behind the wagon.
Look, Bull, we're going to shake him up a little. You keep him occupied while we move in. You ready?
Let's make some music.
They fire a furious volley, then jump out and race down the street.
Here they come.
The three gunmen try to aim, but Bull keeps them ducking in the belfry. Cole, J.P., and Mississippi skid to a stop under a neighboring porch.
All right, Mississippi. You watch that roof and watch it good. Sheriff, you all right?
J.P. leans against the wall, gasping for breath.
No, you ain't.
Bull ducks as a bullet hits nearby. The gunmen crouch.
I'm getting out of here.
All right, Mississippi, I'm going to hit that door. Now, you get around that... Behind the... Watch that other door!
J.P. barrels through the church's front door and hits the floor.
Look out up high!
Cole ducks behind a wall as one of the gunmen fires, swings down the bell ropes, and dives behind the front pew. J.P. fires his pistol over the back of the rear pew as the gunman sprints across the church, races out a side door, and runs away, limping. Mississippi spots him and takes off in hot pursuit. Inside, Cole swings around the corner and shoots one of the gunmen, who falls out of the belfry and slams onto the floor. Outside, Mississippi rounds a corner and fires his sawed-off shotgun at the fleeing outlaw. A sign swings off its post and hits the man's back. He stumbles, then limps away. In the church, Cole shoots the last man. Our view tilts upward as the man falls on top of us.
What I'm gonna wait for?
You are, no, you missed him.
They race out the side door.
Mississippi!
Over here!
Bull joins them as they run around the corner.
Mississippi!
Over here!
Where'd you come from?
I heard a noise!
Did you get him?
Who?
The fella that ran out of the church.
Well, yes and no.
Yes and no?
What do you mean? Did you or didn't you?
I hit the sign and the sign hit him.
That's great.
He was limping when he left.
He was limping when he got here.
Oh.
One of us must have done some damage or some blood here.
Well, anyway, he got away.
Not very far.
Where'd he go?
That saloon up the street.
Jason's place.
J.P. clumsily reloads his pistol.
Well, Sheriff, if you ask me one more time what I'm going to do next, so help me, Cole, I'm just going to flat quit and leave the whole thing in your hands. Here, give me that. We'll be here all winter.
Cole loads the six-shooter.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to go in after him. You know who'll be in there, don't you? Well, there's two men I got to get.
Two men?
There's the man that shot the McDonald kid and the man that sent him out to do it.
Bart Jason.
That's right.
I was wondering when you'd get around to that.
Look, Cole, I may be a drunk. I may not be able to load my own gun. But I don't need you to tell me how to do my job.
I just hope you're good enough.
So do I. So do I. Well, look here, I'm going to go around the back. You walk along that side of the street. And if they got somebody posted outside, you walk right on up to the jailhouse and just wave to me, will you?
You're going to need this.
Yeah, but...
Watch it the way your hand's shaking. Don't let it get near the trigger.
Now, don't you get on me, Bull.
I ain't started yet.
Ah, this is really going to be something to see.
Who the hell are you?
Now, wait a minute, J.P. He's a little green. The fella you're after's got a bad leg.
Sure.
J.P., rifle in one hand, pistol in the other, turns and trots down a back alley, leading Cole in Mississippi. Bull moseys across the street from the saloon, stationing himself on the porch of the general store. In the alley, J.P. slows behind a wagon, then cuts to the back corner of the saloon. He leans against a post and catches his breath.
The back door's through there. If you go in real quiet, like, they may not even know you're there. Give me time to get around up front. We'll watch.
Cole and Mississippi watch J.P. plod ahead, lean against the next post, then continue.
You being fair?
What do you mean?
Letting him go in there?
Well, I'd hate to be the one to try and stop him. They laughed at him, Mississippi. That'll make the difference.
J.P. tries to whistle. Bull motions for him to head inside. J.P. nods, takes a deep breath, and waves.
All right, let's go. If you have to use that thing, make sure which way it's pointed.
Mississippi follows him to the back door. In his tattered clothes and hat, J.P. walks to the shoulder-high double doors and cautiously scans the layout inside. In the back room, Cole and Mississippi weave through barrels and supplies and peer into the bar through a doorway. J.P. pushes through the front doors and glances around, balancing his rifle in his hands. He takes a few steps toward the bar and stops. Cigar-smoking men turn and stare. The piano player gapes over his shoulder. Jason sits in the back corner with McLeod and another gunman.
What do you want here, Sheriff? I want two things. First of all, I want to get the man that just came in here.
Nobody came in here.
You just stay away from that gun, owner. Move up the other end of the bar.
Cole jumps out.
No, I wouldn't do it, McLeod. The rest of you, don't plan anything.
They decided to take a hand after all.
Never figured it any other way. Mississippi, Keep that gun pointed right at this table. Both barrels. Go ahead, JP.
You. You said that nobody came in here?
That's right, nobody came in.
Then how come there's a trail of blood leading right up to that table? Joe, you're playing a lot of sour notes on that piano.
I know I am.
You don't look very happy.
I'm certainly not.
Wouldn't you like to move away from that piano, Joe?
You're darn right I would.
Well, then move!
He springs out of the way. JP blows a hole in the piano. The gunman with the limp jumps out, fires, then crumples, shot in the gut. JP winces in pain, grabs his stomach, and doubles over. He looks up at Jason, then whirls toward the bartender.
Now, you said... Told you, Elmer. Get away from that gun.
Now, get up the other end of the bar.
The bartender backs up with splinters in his hand.
You were saying that nobody walked in here. Get up. Get up.
The gunman at Jason's table stands.
Nobody came in here, huh, laughing boy?
All right.
Let me hear you laugh.
Well,
come on, let me hear you laugh!
He butts him with a rifle.
Now, you, Jason, get out of my way. You thought it was pretty funny, too, didn't you? Why aren't you laughing now? It's the same drunken sheriff, the same hat, the same outfit. Why don't you laugh? Let me hear you laugh!
He cuffs his head.
I don't know who you think you are, Jason.
JP! But...
You're a lucky man, Jason. Because I wanted to kill you bad. Now, come on. You're under arrest.
You're just gonna sit there, McCloud?
Well, there really isn't very much I can do right now. Is there, Jason?
I'll give you $1,000 the day you get me out of jail.
$1,000? Let me tell you something, McCloud. You make one move toward that jail and you're going to have a hard time collecting that money because your boss is going to be the first man shot. So you and your boys get out of town by morning, you understand? You ready, Cole?
Whenever you are.
Let's go.
Cover us. Get out of the way. All right, Mississippi.
Mississippi backs out the front door, keeping close to the others. Bull leads them across the street. JP follows, holding Jason's arm. Cole unties Jason's black horse and walks alongside. Mississippi brings up the rear, his shotgun poised. In a stable across from the jailhouse, a small man, hidden by his cowboy hat, aims a rifle at the retreating group. They reach the porch. Bull stands watch as the others walk inside. JP takes Jason into the inner cell. Bull enters, then Mississippi cracks the door closed and peeks outside.
What are you looking at?
Somebody out there with a gun.
Everybody in town's got a gun.
Yeah. Not pointing at us, though.
Where was this fella?
That livery stable across the street.
It's too soon for one of the McClouds.
Think I'd take a look, huh?
Well, I don't know, Miss.
I'll be careful.
Go around the back way. As soon as you're out the door, turn to your right. If you're not back in 5 minutes, I'll come after you.
Mississippi scans the street, throws a wave to Bull, and heads down the porch. In the back, JP locks the cell door.
Listen, Sheriff.
You listen, Jason. If you want anything more than bread and water until the U.S. Marshal gets here, you be absolutely quiet.
He walks into his office. Cole shuts the main cell door behind him. With a sour face, J.P. squeezes his stomach, then tosses his key ring onto his desk and leans against its side. Cole watches him carefully. J.P. tips back his weather-beaten hat.
Well, we got away with it.
Yeah. You were pretty good in there. Like old times.
Man, don't tell me how good I was. I just got away with it because I had a hangover. I was too mad to be scared and just too sick to worry about it. You know that.
I've been there.
Well,
Next time it's not going to be so easy, is it?
Next time they'll be ready for you.
JP takes a sip of coffee.
Say, who figured out that stuff you people poured into me?
Mississippi.
Where is he? Where is Mississippi?
Who is Mississippi?
Well, that's the kid, the fellow that was around with us all night.
Where is he?
That's what I was asking Bull.
He crossed the street at the stable. Saw somebody pointing a gun after us.
He ought to know better than that.
You want me to go after him?
Well, Bull, you certainly ought to know better.
The first time in 2 months I've felt like doing nothing for you. Now you don't want me to do it.
Is there something wrong with that, or is it just my hangover?
You made better sense when you was drinking.
There must be some whiskey around here someplace.
Now in the stable. The handsome, youthful-faced Mississippi pokes his head through the back door, then creeps inside. He wears his flat-topped black hat, a red bandana, and a black leather shirt with a fringe around the shoulders. Across the straw-covered floor, the short gunman stares at the jailhouse. Mississippi sneaks around a wagon. He puts his gun in his holster, looks around, and finds a tin can on a ledge. He tosses it into the opposite corner. The gun woman whirls around, Joey McDonald. As she creeps toward the back, Mississippi jumps her. They roll through the hay, then he pins down her arms.
Hey, you're a girl.
Course I'm a girl.
Well, just hold still now, miss. Hold still, you're going to lose your clothes. You keep that up.
All right, I'll quit.
You sure?
I told you, didn't I?
All right.
How'd you know I was in here?
Oh, well, I saw your gun barrel sticking out that window. Who are you after anyway?
Oh, Jason. Joe was so close around him, I couldn't get a clear shot.
Oh.
Are you going to keep sitting on my stomach?
Well, I'm comfortable, and I... Oh, nope. Hey, now I told you not to do that. Don't do it and hold still. What's your name?
Joey.
Joey?
Josephine McDonald.
McDonald. Come on.
He pulls her up, her blonde streaked hair wild and tangled.
Well, if you really are a McDonald, I guess you got a right to be wanting to shoot Jason.
He picks up his hat and cleans it off.
Hey, I know who you are. You're one of the ones that took him to the jail, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am, one of them.
I recognize the hat.
Hmm.
Why do you wear that silly thing?
Well, never mind.
Why?
It was given me by an old Cherokee Indian medicine man who told me that as long as I wore it, people wouldn't ask me fool questions.
That wasn't a fool question.
Hmm. Well, then I'll ask you one. Why you wear your hair like some wild Mustang that needs a curry comb and a brush? I don't think that...
He slaps her back.
Now, don't do that again, because I can hit a little harder than you.
Damn you.
Look, if you are who you say you are, I'm on your side.
I was wrong. I ought not to be hitting you at all. I ought to be thanking you for helping us.
Yeah, well...
He picks up a rifle.
Could I have my rifle back?
No, not just yet. Not till we find out who you really are.
I told you who I am.
Yeah, well, you just say so. Come on, we'll go find out, huh?
Bull, what did Mississippi say?
Go into the stable over across the street.
Well, I guess I better go find out.
Hey, in the jail. Mississippi.
Come on, open the door.
Hold your horses.
Found this girl in that stable across the street pointing a gun.
Hello, Joey.
Sheriff. Hello, Mr. Thornton.
Joey.
May I have
my gun?
Sure.
Thanks.
Just, who are you aiming to shoot, Joey?
Jason.
Uh-huh. Didn't the last time you shot a man teach you anything at all, Joey?
It did. If there any mistake about Jason. We didn't have much hope you were going to get him, Sheriff. So Pa and the others are waiting for him in different places, out on the street. To be honest, we didn't think you were good enough to get him.
Sober enough.
Well, we were wrong.
Yeah.
Well, Joy, you better round up your family and tell them to go on back home and stay there till this thing's over.
You can also tell them that we got the men that shot your brother. How is your brother?
Doc says he's got a good chance.
I'm glad.
You going to be able to hold Mr. Jason, Sheriff?
Oh, he'll stand trial, Joey.
Will he get what he deserves?
That I don't know. I'm not the judge. I'm just the sheriff around here.
Yeah. Would it be all right if I could see him, talk to him?
Why, sure, Joey. Just let me have that gun.
She shakes her head with a hint of a smile.
Never mind. Guess I'll be going.
You want me to go with you?
Why?
I don't know.
I haven't gotten around to shooting women yet.
Huh.
I reckon y'all are doing what you think is right. And for what you're doing, thanks. All of you.
She glances at Mississippi, then leaves.
She would have shot that fella.
She shot me.
She's something.
Later, McLeod and his men walk out of the saloon. Mississippi peers down the dark street and watches them mount their horses. Yeah! Yeah! He locks the wooden shutter, then joins the others in the back room.
Cole. McLeod and four of his men just left from across the street.
Don't figure he's pulling out, do you?
Fella in his line of work can't pull out once he takes a job.
What I hear is part engine. Could be he just might want us to think he's leaving.
Could be.
Yeah. With that itchy feeling in the back of my neck that says engine trouble's coming. What time you reckon it is?
Oh, around 11, 12.
Sheriff said it's how he wanted to be woke up.
What for?
Before we tried to drink the town dry, we used to make a patrol about this time of night.
Well, don't wake him up. He's been through enough for one night. Mississippi, You and I'll have a look around.
If you're gonna do that, here's a couple of badges. Now raise your right hand. I forgot the words, but you better say I do.
I do?
Now you're deputies.
Bull, you suppose these will do any good if somebody takes a shot at us?
Give them a good mark to shoot at.
You better come lock this door after us.
They pin the shiny badges on their chests and leave. Bull bolts the door. Outside, Cole and Mississippi stand in the middle of the street.
Take a look-see in adjacents. And I'll take this side.
Cole swaggers confidently down the street, his rifle in his right hand. Mississippi steps onto the saloon's porch, leans over the double doors, looks into the crowded bar, then sidesteps three cigar-smoking men. Cole walks up to two Mexican men wearing ponchos and sombreros.
Con permiso, amigos.
He pokes his thumb in the air and the two men leave. Across the street, Mississippi walks past a gunsmith shop. He glances quickly over his shoulder. Cole reaches one end of the general store, peers around the corner, then heads down the steps. Cole stops in his tracks and waves Mississippi over.
What was that?
I don't know, but I don't like it.
Look out!
Five gunmen gallop around the corner. Mississippi dives into the street. The horses leap over his body. Then he props himself on his elbows and fires. A rider tumbles off his horse. Cole knocks off another. Then J.P. runs out of the jailhouse, firing his pistol. He gets hit in the thigh, staggers, then shoots a gunman off the back of his horse. Cole and Mississippi race toward him.
Get him inside!
They take him under the arms and hustle him into the jailhouse.
Close the door.
They drop him into a chair.
Hit that?
No, he just nicked me. I don't think he got the bone.
Ain't nobody gonna tell me what happened out there?
Bull, I told you to stay back out of sight.
Well, how's a body gonna see anything from around the corner?
I gotta cut this pin. Right?
Well, go ahead and cut it. You got a knife?
He whips his knife out of his collar.
Hey,
I suppose I've asked this before, but just who is he?
Tell him your name, Mississippi.
Alan Bedillion Traherne.
Well, no wonder he carries a knife.
You're going to need a doctor to fix this.
Bull, you suppose you can slip out the back door and get Doc Miller over here without getting yourself shot?
If I thought I was going to get shot, I wouldn't go. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Cole twists a bandana.
Here. Use this till the doctor gets here.
Cole, how'd this mess get started?
Well, a bunch of men on horseback came flying around the bend, and what was the idea of diving under those horses?
Diving under those horses?
Yeah, man can't shoot good when his horse is jumping, and a horse will not step on a man.
He won't.
He will?
Alan Bedillion Terhune?
Terhane.
Traherne.
Traherne.
Yeah.
Later, Doc Miller stands beside a tall young doctor who works on JP's leg. Cole arches the small of his back.
Well, there's nothing in there.
Sheriff, you've got nothing to worry about.
Lift your leg up a little, please.
Thornton, did you ever get that bullet out of your back?
No, I never did.
Well, I told you at the time you needed somebody better than me to get it out. I've got the man right here who can do it. Dr. Donovan, can you spare a minute?
Yes, Doctor. Hold your finger right here. No, here. That's it.
J.P. presses on his open wound and gawks as the doctor gets up.
This fellow's got a bullet in him. Went in the left side about here and moved toward the spine.
About here?
A little higher.
Oh, yes, I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
This may hurt.
It did.
It's very odd. Tell me, does it hurt here?
No.
Doctor. Just a minute, Sheriff. What do you think, Charles?
That's a challenge, isn't it?
I reckon he's got a more interesting misery than you got, Sheriff.
Look, Doctor, I don't want to take up your time, but mine's still bleeding.
You've got nothing to worry about, Sheriff. It's a good, clean wound. Tell me, it's giving you trouble, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Why don't you tell him the truth?
I can guess. There's a sudden spasm of pain in this area, followed by paralysis of one side, probably the right.
Well, it doesn't last very long.
But it lasts a little longer each time, doesn't it?
What are you trying to tell him, Doctor?
That if he doesn't get that bullet out of there, one of these times he'll have an attack and it just won't pass off.
McCloud may settle the whole problem for us, but if I'm here after this is all over, I'll come and see you, Doc, I promise.
You do that.
Now, doctors, if you please, could one of you step over here so that I could rest my finger?
Surely, Sheriff.
Later, Bull keeps watch at the window. J.P. sits at his desk. Cole pours himself a cup of coffee.
Cole.
Bull points to J.P., who rocks his chair restlessly back and forth and taps the armrest.
J.P., why don't you settle down?
I just can't help it, Cole. I've got the shakes so bad.
You've had them before.
Yeah, but not with a hole in my leg and a bunch of unfriendly people hanging around outside just waiting for somebody to pop through.
What do you want to do? Quit?
Only thing I can figure out is just don't use the door. Don't go outside.
You mean the whole lot?
Well, sure. They're not going to come in here after us.
When do you expect the United States Marshal?
Oh, man. I don't remember the last time he was here.
He was here. You give him a big welcome. Flung a bottle at him.
An empty bottle.
Yeah. He wasn't that far gone.
When's the marshal due?
Oh, 4 or 5 days.
Well, you got enough food?
Plenty of coffee and water.
Bull, you suppose you could slip out that back door and bring us some food?
Without getting shot?
I wish you would.
What he wants me to do, get shot or get food?
Want me to go with you?
Yeah, and if I get shot, you can bring back the food. And I'm also going to bring back a big bar of soap. This place will never be Delmonico's. But the food would taste better if a fella I know would use that bar of soap.
Bull, why don't you just get?
I'm going.
Bull and Mississippi leave. J.P. looks down at his sweat-stained shirt.
I suppose I could use a little bath.
I'd appreciate it.
Later, in the back, J.P. sits in a tall-sided copper wash tub, scrubbing his back with a brush.
Morning, Joey.
Morning, Bull. I brought some... Good morning, Sheriff.
Joey, I'm taking a bath.
Oh, don't mind me, Sheriff. I was raised with four brothers.
Well, I'm not your brother.
Doc Miller sent you over these crutches and some clean clothes. He also sent you a bar of soap, and I brought along an extra one just in case... Oh, I see you already have some.
I've got a lot of friends, Joey.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll be going.
She smiles at Mississippi.
Morning.
Josephine.
Joey, what are you doing still in town?
Well, we came to take my brother Jared home this morning. He's a lot better.
Well, when you get back to the ranch, you do what I...
I remember what you said. Stay close and watch out.
Right.
You look a lot better without that hat.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
He smiles at her as she leaves.
Wait a minute. Don't close that door. Morning, Joey.
Morning,
Marty.
Hi,
Mississippi. Morning, Cole.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'd have more privacy in the middle of the El Paso Railroad Station.
Hello, J.P. How are you?
I'm thinking of selling tickets, Marty. I'd get rich.
Got here just in time. Here's a bar of soap for you.
He catches it and sets it down.
Just what I need.
Hey, what happened to your leg?
She steps closer.
Marty! Marty, will you get out of here?
All right, J.P. What happened to him?
Oh, he'll be all right.
Good.
Got nicked in the leg last night.
I thought you all might
Marty,
be
I think you ought to have better sense than come around here after what happened last night.
I ought to have better sense to come here. I brought you some food. I think I'll take it back. Well,
now, just a minute, man.
Cole, sometimes you make me so mad.
Marty.
What?
What he's trying to tell you in his own sweet way is that it's not safe for you to come here anymore.
Somebody sees you come in here, they tell McLeod, and then McLeod tries to use you to get to us.
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
Well, that's...
Now, she oughtn't to go out the front door. Was McLeod and his...
Well...
All right, let her come through this way. I'll close my eyes.
He puts on his hat.
Come on.
Ma'am, you might just as well leave that basket.
Sure, Mississippi.
Come on, Marty.
She hands over the basket and leaves. J.P. uncovers his face and sighs. Later, a young woman sneaks up to the jailhouse door.
Hey, you in the jail?
Bull checks the window as Cole leans against the door.
Who is it?
It's me, Polly. I got a note for you.
Don't see nobody with her.
Come on in, Polly.
Hi, Sheriff.
Hi.
Marty asked me to bring this to you.
A note.
I'm scared, Sheriff. Those men waiting around. All the girls are so scared.
I know, Polly. What'd you say, Cole?
Just what I was afraid of. There's some of McLeod's men hanging around her place. She says for us to watch out for ourselves because she overheard enough to know that they've got something planned.
Well, I guess you better go on down there, Cole.
Yeah. Mississippi, you want to ride Bowley ride again? Might be some trouble.
Over the mountains of the moon, down the valley of the shadow. Here we come.
Come ahead, Cole.
Bull holds the door open. Cole and Mississippi slip outside. Wearing their holsters, they glance around the street, then hurry through town. They trot past the general store. Cole spots a man aiming his pistol.
Look out!
The man ducks into the saloon. Cole and Mississippi, their guns drawn, rush onto the porch.
Window, get their attention.
Mississippi throws a chair through a window.
A man came in here.
Out the back way.
He goes through that door.
He's running fast.
Cole!
Don't these fellows look familiar?
Our friends from the border. Milt and Pedro. Where's McLeod?
I don't know. These are the people who wait for people outside of doors. Kind of makes you wonder about that door, doesn't it?
You're learning, Mississippi. Any particular reason why you... Want us to go out that way?
Oh, no, senor. The man, he went out that door.
Pedro's
see?
Telling the
it's
truth.
With us.
You better be, because you're both going out that door. You first, Milt.
No.
Come on, Milt.
No, please.
Not that way.
Milt grabs his shoulder and falls off the stairs.
I'm tired of being taken for a fool. Move! Come on, move!
Please.
On your way.
Don't. I lied. There's somebody out there.
I know.
He shoots his leg.
Wait. I'll go.
You sure will.
Don't shoot! It's Milt! Don't shoot!
Bullets fling him against the door.
All right, Pedro, it's your turn.
No.
You're
senor,
next.
Please.
Go on, Pedro, move.
Cole freezes up, drops his gun, and collapses. Pedro draws his pistol. Mississippi blows him back.
Cole. Cole, you all right? What is it, Cole?
One of Jason's men knocks him out.
Well, Thornton, this is better than I expected. Pick him up and take him out of here.
Chuck!
Joe, give him a hand.
They drag Cole away. JP, wearing clean clothes, stares out the jailhouse window.
Can you see anything?
Well, there's hardly anybody moving on the street.
They run into trouble, sure enough.
They should have been here or sent somebody an hour ago.
In a dark alley, Mississippi waves Maudie forward, takes her arm, and leads her to the jail's back door. Bull turns on his heel and points his rifle.
Who is it?
Mississippi, come on, open.
As Bull unlocks the door, JP hobbles into the back room with a crutch.
Where's Cole?
McCloud's got him.
Later.
Well, right after that, this fella come up from behind me and give me a headache.
I think it was Jim Purvis, Jason's foreman.
From there on in, Morty's gonna have to tell you what happened.
Well, was Cole all right?
Yeah, he was all right when I saw him last, except his side seemed numb.
Did they take him away?
Yeah, they carried him out. While they were gone, we got Mississippi into my room, but when they came back, they didn't seem to want him bad enough to try to take him because they had Cole already.
Yeah.
Well, it's not too good, is it?
Sure ain't.
Jason smirks in his cell.
I wouldn't look so happy if I were you, because if anything does happen to Cole...
The bolt and doorknob on the front door splinter apart. The door opens and Cole falls inside, bound and gagged. Maudie starts forward. Mississippi grabs him.
Get back!
Stay back.
Sheriff? Sheriff, can you hear me? It's Nels McCloud.
Yes, I hear you.
Your friend Thornton's got something wrong with him. But it wasn't our doing. We got 4 or 5 guns on him from across the street. So don't try and move him.
Bull, watch Jason. Mississippi. We've got enough guns on your boss to get the job done.
I expected that.
All right, McCloud, what's your deal?
You send out Jason alive, and you get your friend.
All right, Bull. Let him out.
Sheriff, you can't do it. You free Jason, McCloud can do anything he wants to. What chance you got then?
Just open the door, Bull.
JP, his face clean-shaven, limps over to his tied-up friend. Bull unlocks the inner cell, and Jason steps out toward the main room.
That's far enough, Jason. Come on, Bull. You come where you can watch him all the way out the door. All right, Jason, come on. Mississippi, get back here by this window. Don't open it. Just stand ready. Slowly now. Go on. Right through the door now. Close it behind you.
I can't close it with his feet there.
Move them.
Jason nudges Cole's legs out of the way, then slides past.
That's right. Slowly.
Jason grabs the doorknob, slowly backs out, and closes the door.
All right, get him out of here. Get up in front of that door.
Bull leans a crate against the door. Mississippi and Maudie grab Cole under the arms and drag him up into a chair. Mississippi pulls out his knife and works on the ropes.
You all right, Cole?
I guess so. Well, JP, you made a great bargain. You sold out the whole McDonald family. For what? Go ahead, tell me about it, Cole. Tell me about how, if it was you, you'd have done it different. Well, you're going to have to face him. It's my fault, but they'll blame you. Yeah.
In the jail! Thornton, I'm sorry it had to end this way. I'll always wonder which one of us was best.
Later, at the doctor's, Maudie and another woman make coffee.
Gracias.
Donovan presses on Cole's back.
Can you feel that?
Oh.
for that.
It's almost like it was last night, Doc.
Come on, last night your whole side was dead. Now it's just your arm.
I've never lasted all night before.
You may have waited too long.
Can't you operate on Doctor and get that bullet out?
Oh, I could, but he'd be laid up, and he says he has too much to do right now.
How he's gonna do it, I don't know. Bo, you gonna stand there and look out that window all day?
Yep. The cloud let us leave town too easy.
Later, they eat dinner. Bull eats by the window.
Joey McDonald and Saul McDonald's wife's coming. Could be bringing trouble.
Mississippi, you slip out that back door. See if anybody's following them. Bull, you watch him, too.
Bull sets down his plate and opens the door. Joey and a tall blonde woman walk in carrying rifles.
Bull, Mr. Martin, Sheriff, we want to talk to you.
What's wrong, Joey?
Lots of things.
It's my husband, Saul. Jason's men took him.
Took him?
Yes, they've got him.
Joey, you were supposed to tell your family to watch out.
Cattle gotta be watered, Mr. Thornton. A young Mexican boy was with Saul. They sent the boy back with a message. Said we could have Saul back alive if Pa was to turn his water rights over to Jason.
And he's going to do it.
He ain't got any choice.
You know they're never gonna give Saul back, don't you, Sheriff?
I'm afraid that Jason doesn't want Saul or your father around to testify as to how he got the deed to that water.
You gotta do something, Sheriff. You've just got to.
Ain't nobody trailing that I can see.
When is your father supposed to do all this?
Tonight.
8 o'clock. They're bringing Saul to Jason's saloon. Pa's supposed to bring the deed.
They said they'd kill Saul if anybody tried anything.
That's just what you said about Jason, wasn't it, Sheriff? That you'd kill him, and then you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Well, what are you going to do now?
Well, they've got McLeod and a bunch of gun hands, and they've got your brother. You just take a look around here. We've got two cripples, a green kid, and a noisy old...
Indian fighter.
Now, how in the hell do I know what I'm going to do?
Joey, you go back and tell your pa that we're going to do whatever we can, but that it's up to him whether he gives up or not.
I guess this whole thing's my fault. If I hadn't shot you, none of this would have happened.
You will try, though.
Oh, yes, ma'am, we'll try.
I reckon we'll be going.
Mississippi opens the door and gently touches Joey's elbow as she leaves.
Well, Sheriff... just what are we going to do?
I don't know, Bull. Like I told the lady, I just don't know.
Cole practices cocking JP's rifle with one hand, swinging it in a circle by its large, rounded lever. He rests the rifle across his limp right hand and cocks it again.
You hit anything that way?
If I can get close enough, load it, will you?
How are you going to get close enough?
Ride right up in front of Jason's in the wagon. You got a wagon, haven't you?
You got a great big one.
Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind?
He's making sense.
I won't think I'm any good.
I got away with it. He can.
Last time you took the front door and I took the back, this time we'll do her the other way around.
Well, maybe we'd better get going before we're thinking about it too much.
I suppose the best time to get there would be just before they expect McDonald.
8 o'clock, Joy said.
Well, Bull, I guess you better hook up a couple of wagons.
Well, come on, Mississippi. We'll think up something else.
Yeah.
Later, they walk outside. JP limps into a small flatbed wagon with a padded seat. Cole climbs into a large wagon with a wooden box seat and holds his right hand against his chest.
Give me the gun.
He takes a rifle from Mississippi and lays it on the seat.
Can you see it from there?
Can't see a thing.
How are you going to get down from there?
Well, that's easy. I'm going to fall down. JP, how are we going to time this thing? You know, they're sure to have somebody out in back watching.
You trying to tell me how to run my job, Cole?
No, but I'm a little interested. I don't know how long I can keep them busy out in front.
Well, we'll be just as quiet as we can be. If we get the job done before you start shooting, Bull will blow on his horn.
What if they start shooting before he toots that bugle?
Well, in that case, partner, you're on your own.
Wait a minute. I got an idea.
Bull runs inside.
Can I ride into town with you?
It isn't going to be pretty to see.
I'd like to be around.
You get off when I say so?
I'll get off.
Come ahead.
She climbs onto the seat, 6 feet off the ground.
Give me something to lean on.
And when his strength failed him at length, he met a pilgrim shadow. Shadow, said he, where can it be? This land called El Dorado.
I'll see you, Cole.
I hope so. Yeah.
He flicks the reins and pulls away.
Bull!
I'm coming.
What are you doing with that bow and arrow outfit?
Like Cole said, got to be quiet about this.
Can you hit the side of a barn with that thing?
Ain't going to try to hit a barn. Just a man.
He climbs in back. Mississippi sits beside J.P.
Over the mountains of the moon.
Down the valley of the shadow.
Ride, boldly ride, the shade replied.
You search for El Dorado.
The scene changes to town. Cole tugs back on the reins and presses down the wagon's brake.
Well, Marty, this is as far as you go.
All right.
She jumps down, then stares at him with stony eyes.
Aren't you going to say anything?
Would it do me any good to say it?
Say what?
That this is crazy. No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to go out and buy you a pine box. About 6 foot six ought to be
Marty,
just about...
The McDonald's. Hold him back. Tell him to give us 5 minutes. Hurry.
Bye, Cole.
She runs into the street and waves down the approaching McDonald's. Elsewhere, Mississippi steers the small wagon around a dark corner. Bull dangles his legs off the back with his bugle in one hand and an Indian feathered longbow in the other. The clean-shaven J.P., holding his crutch, wears a new black Stetson, a short-sleeved leather vest over a burgundy shirt, and a black bandana around his neck. Mississippi stops the wagon under a tree, climbs out, and ties the reins to a fence post. J.P., Mississippi, and the shaggy-bearded Bull duck behind a hut and peer at the back door of the saloon, where a gunman leans against the wall, smoking.
Well, they've got a lookout there, all right.
Got to get rid of it.
You reckon you could hit him from here with a bow and arrow, Bull?
Can't miss.
Any chance of him yelling out when he gets hit?
Plenty.
Yeah, well, hold it. I got an idea.
He takes off his gun belt.
Bull, hold that. Take good care of that.
He puts his hat on Bull, then grabs a black blanket off a clothesline and wraps it around him like a shawl. Emptying the water out of a flower pot's black water dish, he sets it on his head like a tight-fitting cap.
What in tarnation you doing?
Chung, dong, pong. See you later.
He squints his eyes, pulls the shawl closed, and shuffles to the saloon's back door.
What are you trying to say?
He bows, smiles, and reaches for the back door.
You can't go in there.
No.
He decks the gunman.
So sorry. Come on.
Bull runs over and gives Mississippi his hat and gun belt. J.P. hobbles after them on his crutch. They follow Bull through the door. In the back room, they hide behind a shelf of supplies and peer into the saloon. Saul McDonald sits tied to a chair in the center of the room, surrounded by drinking and smoking men.
Joe never was much good on that piano, was he?
No, and you shooting them strings out didn't help none neither.
On the main street, Cole drives the wagon toward the saloon, keeping the horses at a slow trot. Sitting on the saloon's porch, Jason's foreman stands up, stares down the street, then leans inside.
Cloud! Cole Thornton's coming.
Jeff, you and a couple of boys stay with the kid.
McLeod steps outside. He wears a black hat with a white shirt and red string tie, a double-breasted satin vest, gray striped pants, and his double-holstered gun belt. Cole stops the wagon right in front of the saloon. Jason and three men join McLeod.
Didn't expect to see you here, Mr. Thornton.
Hello, McLeod.
I said...
My show, Jason. Hi, Thornton.
There's a little question unanswered between us.
Which one of us is best?
That's right.
I don't think we're going to find out the answer to that question.
No?
No. Your gun hand's no good.
He looks at his stiff right hand.
You just give me time to get on off of this wagon and we'll find out.
Why should I give you any time?
Call it professional courtesy.
Don't even listen to him. Why should you give him time?
Curiosity, Jason.
All right, Bull.
Get that one close to the McDonald boy. When you hit him, blow that bugle.
Bull shoots an arrow into a man's back.
But my better judgment tells me that I can't...
Cole leaps off the far side of the wagon as the horses pull it away. Lying on his stomach, he fires. McLeod draws, then buckles and staggers backward. Jason and the others duck for cover. Cole fires again, and McLeod collapses. Inside, Mississippi fires. The buckshot shatters a window and hits a man outside.
Freeze it right there, Johnny.
Mississippi cuts Saul free. Outside, Cole clutches a bullet wound on his thigh. Propping the rifle on his right arm, he fires. Jason's foreman drops, a hole in his chest. As Cole struggles with a jammed lever, Jason picks up a pistol and aims. Joey fires across the street. Jason falls back and keels over. Bull steps onto the porch. Cole hobbles toward him with Joey. Down the street, Saul's wife and the other McDonalds rush forward.
Where's Saul?
In there. He's all right.
Joey, I told you to stay out of this.
But
this
why?
Is one time I'm glad she didn't. I'm much obliged, Joey.
I owed you something.
Cole?
Bull kneels beside McLeod. Cole joins him.
McLeod?
The gunfighter smiles faintly.
You didn't give me any chance at all, did you? No, I didn't. You're too good to give a chance to. Yeah. Let a one-armed man take me.
His head slumps to the ground. Later in the jailhouse, Donovan bandages Cole's leg as Cole flexes his right hand.
JP, look. Now that I don't need this thing, it's working pretty good.
That's always the way, isn't it? Hey, Bull, what's going on out there?
Town's fit to bust out. Be a big time tonight. Every son feels like hollering. How's your leg, Cole?
Ask the doc.
Oh, it's not too bad. You know these wounds were made by buckshot, don't you?
I thought they were.
Who was using a shotgun?
Well, there was a certain young man with a...
I was using a shotgun, Doc.
You? I thought you were on their side.
He was.
I told you I was no good with a gun.
The trouble is, Doc, Cole was in front of the gun. And the safe place is behind Mississippi when he shoots that thing.
You too, Bull, huh? I think I'll take a little walk.
See that gal?
What gal?
The one that thinks she looked better without that hat.
Why don't you tell her why you're wearing it?
Don't have to. I've already told her. She's madder than a wet hen. Says you let her make such a fool out of herself.
A host of friends. I have a host of friends. I'm sorry about that leg.
Forget it.
Yeah. I'll see you.
Mr. Thornton, that'll be a little sore for a few days, but it'll be all right.
Yeah.
I hope you have time to let me fix your back.
Well, just as soon as this leg heals, Doc.
I'll be ready.
Donovan leaves.
Hey, Cole? Where's Marty?
I was wondering about that, too. I left her down the street just before this ruckus started. Oh, she'll probably be around pretty soon.
Well, I wouldn't count on that too much.
Hmm?
I just talked to her down to her place.
Well?
Well, if you was running for president, I figure you wouldn't get her vote.
Well, what did I do?
Well, she said she was plumb through waiting on a man whilst he'd run around being a target for anybody that had a notion to shoot a gun. Says she just couldn't take it no more.
She said that?
Yeah, she said that, and she had a few frills and dressing. The main idea was the door was closed.
Well.
Well, Cole, what are you going to do?
What can I do? Can't argue with a closed door.
Glad to hear you say that. Better just drop the whole thing.
Well, what can I
do? Some other fool will go down there and try to talk her out of it. You get in a lot of trouble with women like that. Do you remember what happened to me?
You're trying to say that I'm in the same mess you were?
Why, no, I didn't say that, Cole.
Well, you think I'm going to make a fool out of myself like you did?
Cole, you told me yourself you cannot stand to be tied down in one place.
How do you know I haven't had enough of running around selling my gun arm all over the place?
You said yourself sitting right here on this desk.
Don't put words in my mouth.
I'm not putting words in your mouth.
And if I'm going to have somebody tell me about women, it isn't going to be you. Where is Maudie?
Down to her place.
That's my crush.
Well, where's the other one?
Right over there. It's right under your nose.
I can't make up my own mind.
You got it under the wrong arm, Cole.
Well, how would you know? You've been using it first under one arm and then the other. Fine friend. Trying to keep a fella from doing what he wants to do.
I reckon the way to get him to do something is to tell him not to do it.
Not if he didn't want to do it in the first place.
You reckon he'll stay here?
That could be.
Be a good thing to have him here. Because you'll likely wait a bit, find a new gal, make a fool of yourself all over again.
Most likely. If you leave me, Bull, I could be driven to it.
Well, I ain't said I was going to leave you.
You as much as said it.
Now stop putting words in my mouth.
I just can't do anything right according to you. Bull, I need you.
You what?
I need you, Bull.
Well, now, if you start being nice to me, I'll quit you for sure. Shock would be too much. I'd as sooner have you hung over and nasty.
Speaking of that, how about a little drink, Bull?
He pulls out a bottle and two shot glasses.
Gone. It took you a long time to think of that one.
Later, Cole and J.P. limp down the street.
That was good work, Sheriff.
Thank you, Fred. Sheriff, it looks like you're going to keep your job.
Yeah, it'll be a nice, quiet town after you leave, Cole.
How do you know I'm leaving?
Well, we just don't need your kind around here.
Cole grins. J.P. just looks at him. Fade to black. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by John Krinke. Descriptions read by Nick Mills. Credits, a Paramount picture. Cast of characters, James Caan as Mississippi, Charlene Holt as Maudie, Paul Fix as Dr. Miller, Arthur Honeycutt as Bull, Michelle Carey as Josephine, Joey McDonald, R.G. Armstrong as Kevin McDonald, Christopher George as Nels McLeod, Marina Gain as Maria, Robert Donner as Milt, John Gabriel as Pedro, Johnny Crawford as Luke McDonald.